irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, hello, everyone. This is Justin Nimmergood here with Bruce Cameron, and we have another special edition for you today of the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Bruce, my man, happy Monday to you.
Happy Monday to you. How are things in California this week? Thus far,
last week. It's another beautiful, sunny, 80-degree day. So I know you guys are getting hit with the, you know, the heat wave now, you know, August heat wave there in Texas, right?
Oh, yeah. Definitely the heat wave is on. Down here. So, on the good side, it is nice and sunny, not raining, and it's a perfect back to school week. I know a lot of the kids are going back to school. I myself posted some pics on social media with myself holding a backpack, wishing myself happy first day of 51st grade. And I got some good responses there, and so that was fun. And then of course this weekend we sent my littlest one off to college, so we did the move in yesterday, and so it's fun to see him go to the next level and watch him grow. It's kind of fun watching these. In this day and age, there are parents' Facebook pages for everything, you know? And so there's this class of 2023 parents' Facebook page. And, you know, a lot of the pages were kind of boo-hooing and whatever else. But there were a couple of the parents that were caught drinking lots of tequila.
It's a drink of choice, I guess.
Oh, yeah, parent, dude. Right? This husband and wife had their heads stuck together, and they had the duck face sucking frozen margaritas from, not Chewy's, but there's a place down there. It's pretty notorious for some good drinking for them. So anyway, it's kind of fun to get all that process started, and I'm sure we'll want to check him in since he's in the Mays School of Business. And
okay, I was just going to ask that. Yeah, yep. He was meeting you. So he's
got
going
directly
business.
Admitted. Yeah, directly admitted into the Mays School of Business as a freshman, man. First round draft pick. So real proud of him. he's a hard worker, and looking forward to hearing his insights on business. Yeah, since he'll be a newly trained entrepreneur. Yeah, it'll be fun. Yeah, it'll be fun
it's a fun time, I'm sure, for your family to celebrate the sending off. And you guys officially empty nesters now?
Yeah, we are. Yeah, we're now empty nesters. So, which is, you know, it's a good thing, but it's honestly, I'd be lying. It is kind of, you know, it's going to be strange, even from the dad perspective, because you just expect that he's around, you know what I mean? And you expect you'll be able to talk to him or, you know, have dinner or whatever. So it is going to be an adjustment. And, you know, there's a little bit of sadness there. But, you know, it's when it's time, it's time. And this is that time. So I'm certainly happy for him. And. And, you know, it'll be an adjustment for everybody, but, you know, just a good developmental benchmark. So anyway,
that's awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Good for you. Yeah. Good
Thanks.
For you.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Well, I'm extremely excited today because, you know, we have a really dynamic guest on, you know, Sin Hannah, And let me tell you a little something about Sin. So I actually originally met Sin through the Irvine Chamber of Commerce, which I've been pretty heavily entrenched in the last 3 or so months. And just an incredible woman, dynamic, talented beyond belief. You know, Sin believes that if you can dream it, you can live it. She knows firsthand what it means to transform tragedy into triumph. And I'm excited to, you know, discuss that with her here on the show today. After the suicide of her only child, Sin wasn't sure if she would survive. On her journey, she discovered life-transforming principles that have allowed her to create a life she loves. She now teaches these principles to her clients to create quantum leaps in their results, both personally and professionally. Sin has shared the stage with internationally acclaimed transformational teacher Mary Morrissey and actress and wellness advocate Marielle Hemingway. Sin's entrepreneurial spirit led her to numerous successful ventures prior to becoming a coach, including working in Hollywood as a television producer and owning a high-tech recruiting firm focusing on Silicon Valley. She is a certified life mastery consultant, dream builder coach, life coach CTA, grief recovery specialist, and grief intuitive coach. She has studied with three of the leading transformational teachers of our time, and she's really passionate about empowering others to live their dream. So without further ado, we'd like to welcome Sin Hannon to the show. Sin, welcome.
Hi, thank you. I'm really happy to be here today.
We're excited to have you on. So I know there's some, you know, just sharing a little bit about your bio there, there's some really powerful stuff, and you are obviously well, well accredited. But in particular, could you just maybe, you know, start by telling everyone a little bit more about yourself and kind of how, you know, you got into this transformational life coaching journey, if you will?
Yeah, I'd be happy to. Well, back in college, my favorite top subjects were psychology and nutrition. And those are things that I continued to study for the rest of my life. And so I was like, okay, listen to that. This is where my interests go. And then I was in therapy for quite a while and years, actually. And I got where I was in a group therapy. So we'd sit there and she'd kind of go around to each person. And when she was going to say something to someone, I would know exactly what she was going to say before she said it. And I was just so interested in how the mind and the body work. So the nutrition and the psychology. And so I started thinking about being a therapist, but it didn't really resonate with me. I didn't want to be digging into people's past. I really wanted to be helping people move forward. And when I heard about life coaching, I went, that's it. Because it's about, we have to deal with the unconscious because that's where our blocks and limiting beliefs are. But it's about helping people move forward. And that's how I got into coaching.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And obviously, you know, Bruce and I can appreciate, you know, every coach we have on the show has, I think, a uniquely similar story, right? Like they have that moment where it's like, well, I don't really want to do the whole therapy route, right? Or, you know, but I'm kind of into helping people, you know, not just provide a band-aid solution, but actually get down, you know, at the root cause, you know, maybe do some rewiring work and get it. What's really causing those challenges? So love it. Love it, Sin.
Yeah. I also bet that most coaches have a personal story where they had to overcome something that showed them the power that they can do this to want to help other people do it as well.
Yeah. Maybe could you just expand on that a little bit? I know you had a pretty, shall I say, traumatic/very, you know, impactful situation, you know, with your family that, you know, as you said, really got you serious into coaching, help you make that pivot. You know, can you just talk a little bit about how coaching in particular was able to help you overcome some of those challenges that you're facing with the grief?
Yeah, well, actually, it was that got me to make the move to coaching. But I had been pretty much a single mom since my son was 3. And so it was always just the two of us. And when Bruce said, you know, I could so relate to when he said, you know, I just expect him to be around, that I could talk to him. So I know that feeling on a different level. But And my son always had the reputation of being the smartest kid in the school. And I felt sometimes like a local celebrity because it'd be like, you're Dex's mom? Because I have a different last name than him. I had given him his dad's last name. We weren't married. And so that was really fun. But then there came a time when his big, beautiful brain turned on him and he became bipolar or blossomed, or I'm not sure exactly how that illness works, but it typically presents itself around age between 19 and 21, and brought him home from college, got him the support that I knew to get him. But in a very short period of time, he had taken his own life, and I didn't see it coming. There were other attempts. It was just, he was just gone. And so from that, of course I grieved, and I grieved heavily. There's no way around that one. But from that place of, okay, I felt sort of raw and open. I had all these downloads, and one of them was that it was time for me to start stepping into my greatness, whatever that was for me. And the other one was, your greatest fear has already happened. So what do you have to be afraid of now? And the other thing that was so apparent to me was that life is short, even if we live to 90, you know? And so what do I want to do with the time that I do have here? Because we don't know how long we have here. And I had wanted to be a coach, and I had even gotten certified, and I was kind of doing it undercover on the side. And it took my son's death for me to just wake up and go, now's the time.
Right.
And so that was for me a huge moment to just decide, I'm not going to listen to those voices in my head, because they were saying, who do you think you are? What will people think? We've all got those voices at one time or another that try to talk us out of the bigger idea. And so I knew that it was just a time to move forward. And I also learned to tap into a power that is inside of each one of us that is greater than any condition or circumstance we can face. And we all have to know that is there for us, and that we are a choice of how we look at our conditions and our circumstances. So I had a pretty rigorous condition, the death of my only child, but I still had a choice. How do I want to get through this? And do I want to look at the gifts that are coming out of it versus just, oh, I don't have this in my life now, just the loss. And so that was how I got through that. And so there were some really obvious principles that I used that I have also since studied with the, you know, I mentioned I have studied with some of the leading teachers
mm-hmm.
that got me through.
Could you maybe, you know, since we're talking about, you know, this particular topic, you know, what, you know, are some of those principles? Could you share with us that helped you get through that time?
Sure. I love sharing these. So thank you for the question. I call them the four C's for transformation. So it makes it really easy to remember. And the first one is to create a vision, because, you know, a lot of people go through life. I find this with my clients. I have them fill out a questionnaire when we first get started. And so I ask them these questions, and it often is, well, this job just showed up, or I'm just kind of going through life. And so the first step is we need to create a vision. I needed to create a vision for my life that it could be full, happy, and rich without my son here physically. So I needed a starting point, a blueprint, if you will. And we all need that, because absent that, we're going to just default to our old patterns, the old way of doing things, the old results that we've gotten, or maybe a little bit better. But we need to be laying down something new, something in our unconscious, something in our conscious as well. So that's really important. And then the second C is you got to commit to that vision. So you've got to decide for it. And so we've got to have a vision that is important to us, that it matters to us.
Mm.
Because we've got to have that attitude. I'm going to do this no matter what. It can't be just something that's not, you know, well, maybe I'll see, I'll try. It can't be like that. And then the third C is to challenge your paradigms. Now, I could talk a very long time about paradigms, so I won't do that today. But our paradigms are a mental program that has almost exclusive control over our beliefs and our habits. And we're habitual creatures, so our paradigms run our lives, really. And if we don't change them, we can't change our results.
Right.
And what I find with people is they can't see things as a paradigm. They don't see it. They believe it. So, you know, those voices in my head, I was listening, believing them when it said, who do you think you are? What will people think? It's like, I believe that instead of just going, oh, that's just something that's trying to stop me. Because the thing is, your paradigm wants to keep you right where you are. It thinks its job is to keep you safe. And so if you step outside of what you've known, then it wants to pull you right back to safety, which is the life you're in now, even if you would like your life to be different. And your paradigms can show up in all sorts of ways as fear. You know, we let fear stop us. Distraction, you know, we sit down to do something, but instead we check our email, that kind of thing. Delay, we keep putting the thing off, and then dissuasion, those voices in our head. And I'm going to take a moment here in case you have a question you want to say.
Yeah, well, you know, these are great points, and the one that sticks out to me is the commit one. So I can imagine there's probably like some sub principles or tips almost, right? Because I've found in my coaching practice that one seems to be the one that gets people most, because, you know, everyone can get sort of excited. I shouldn't say everyone, a lot of people, you know, you can get excited about, hey, let's create a vision, let's create a roadmap, let's create you know, a life board, a storyboard, right? People can usually get behind that. The committing piece, that's, you know, to me, that's the one hurdle where people often trip up. That's why we see people with, you know, the New Year's resolutions in the gym, you know, in the first couple weeks of the year. And then, you know, by February, March, you don't see them in there anymore, right?
Well, there's the paradigm that comes up. They start out in a new habit, a new routine that serves them. It's going to move them towards the fitness level they'd like to be. And then they slide back to the old. They sleep in, they push the snooze button, they don't set the alarm for earlier anymore. And that's the paradigm at work. And so we need to be, every time we notice a paradigm is up, and it's very hard to see when your paradigm's up on your own, because you don't know it's a paradigm, you don't know it's at work, you just fall into the old routine. But we must replace and repattern it in the moment when it's up, in the moment when we go to hit that snooze button and go, I'm not going today. That's the moment that we have to replace that. And the thing that can help people commit to their dream, it's my fourth step. Well, and let me just say that the third one is challenge your paradigm, and nothing challenges like action steps. And so my fourth C is to calibrate your being, and calibrate just means to adjust. So we always want to be adjusting our energy, who we're being, and what. And this is what can help people stay committed and help them take the action step. So we want to start being the person that would be living that vision now. So we start to think like they would think. We start to act like they would act. And in doing that, it changes our thought pattern, our thought habits, and it raises them up to a higher frequency, and different ideas will come to us from that place, and we'll see opportunities that we wouldn't see from another place, you know, from our old way of thinking. And that's one of the things that can help us move forward and stay committed. So my husband, he is a very creative person. And every time he goes into a house, he sees how it should be, could be, you know, he has a vision for it. And, you know, right. And I was like, you know, honey, it's time. You've got to remodel and do your own project. It's time. But when we looked at the conditions of our lives, at the level of fact, it said, we don't have any more money to invest. And we had just recently moved to California where, you know, the tear down dumpy houses in some of the neighborhoods were $1 million. And I was like, we don't have that. But I just flipped my thinking to, if we have a true burning desire, there is a way. Just because I can't see it doesn't mean it's not there. And I just changed my thinking from, we don't have any more money right now to invest, to, it's possible. And that's what people just need to do. They change their thinking. And within 2 days, the idea dropped into my head that was always there. No resource we had changed. But I just was thinking from a different place. The idea dropped in. And it was doable. And I put the numbers on paper and I told my husband, I showed it to him, and he goes, oh my gosh, we could do this. So we did.
Wow. Wow. And I'm sure it's been a nice, nice little equity builder, you know, from there, depending on when you invested anyway. And that's where it really starts, right? I love that piece. And if you had given up on it, if you had been, you'd let those voices, you know, creep in and overtake, you know, what was your true vision, you know, you wouldn't have been able to move forward with that. That's wonderful, Sin.
Well, it's all about changing our thinking. If I thought it were possible, what would I do? So when a lot of times we have this big dream, this big goal, and we don't, it just seems so big, we don't know how to start. And we just ask, you know, what can I do from where I am with what I have? Because when we ask that question, we're coming from a place of possibility and we're getting out of that condition-based thinking that would say that we can't. We're also tapping into this infinite intelligence that knows exactly how you can bring this in. And the thing is, you're never going to get the whole download at once. And this is what stops people. You know, infinite intelligence, God, universe, life, whatever word resonates with you, is never going to say, here's the whole plan. Because to do that, you'd have a sense of security, a sense of calmness. It's only going to give it to you in steps. Because the truth is that your dream, your goal is here to grow you. It's not. It's great to have the stuff and live the life, but it's really here to grow you. So the real gift is who we have to become in the process of, you know, becoming that, bringing that life in, becoming that version of ourselves that's already living that life. So that's why we'll always only get one step, but we just have to take that one step, and then the next one will appear.
So on that note, you know, as a transformational coach, what are some of the biggest transformational experiences, let's say, you know, not going to limit you to one. If you have a couple, and love to hear the backstory of it too. What are some of the biggest transformational experiences that you've personally had?
That I've personally had?
Yeah.
That you're going to ask me about my clients. Well, I was terrified of public speaking. And I remember when I was having that, it was 2 days after the death of my son, and I was sitting in church, and those were when those downloads I mentioned to you before came in. And so that day I decided that it was time for me to start walking through my fears. And I decided that I was going to speak at my son's service. And having never public spoken before, having been terrified of it, that was a big commitment. I'm going to take action on this and walk through my fears. And there were 500 people in the church that day. And
wow.
I am so glad I stepped up, because that moment, that way to honor my son, I would never get that again, you know? And so that was big for me to just say, I'm stepping through my fears. There's so much I've had to let go of what people think. I mean, not to be rude or inconsiderate, but just, you know, when you get up and speak on stage, some people are going to resonate with it, some aren't. And you have to be okay and still just come from that I'm being of service, and here is a message, and these are the spiritual principles that will bring you success in your life, in all areas of your life, and either that resonates with people or it doesn't, but I know that it works. I absolutely know that it works.
Yeah, that's a heck of a way to get over a fear. Hey, I'm going to, you know, go from not, you know, zero to 10 people or 50 people or even 100. Here's 500 people. Get over it.
Well, what I kind of thought about that day was that I would never be in front of as kind of an audience ever again either. And I sort of thought of that in hindsight, not that day. That day was kind of, you know, surreal. But
yeah, probably tough. And maybe in some ways somewhat helpful in getting through a fear like that. You know, because it was such a divine moment, you know, that was something much bigger than yourself that you were there for. So
it was, I think when something that life altering happens, your ego goes away for a while. There was a while where I felt no judgment for people. And I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this feels so good. And I talked to a friend of mine who was a very wise woman, and she said, now you know what it feels like, so you can get back to this. Because I figured it wouldn't necessarily last, because it was just, yeah.
So, Sin, we're going to pivot here for a second.
Okay.
Let's talk about some of your current clients and specifically, you know, maybe some of the successes and success case studies that you can share with us and with our listeners here today.
Oh, yeah, I'd love to, because it just speaks of how these principles work, and they work so well. So I had one client, and he was his stuck point. So let me just start by saying we all have this internal thermostatic set point, and that is what dictates how much good we let in our life. So we've got to be raising that up consciously and intentionally so we can let more good in. You know, the paradigm. The paradigm has this is how much. And his stuck point was $300,000 a year as personal income. And so with him following these principles, he went from $300,000 to $940,000 in 1 year. But the thing that was really cool about working with him was he, you know, helped people bring their product to market. And what his, when we kind of kept unearthing, his real dream was that he wanted to bring his own market to product. So he'd have his own company so he could sell it, you know, for down the road for retirement. And his dream was to be able to go to work in his flip-flops and his shorts and not have to answer to anyone. And so the really fun part with working with him was to help him, you know, cross that gap, stare down that fear, and have start his own company and have a successful company. So that was super fun. I had another gal who owned a company, and her stock point too was $300,000 for her company. And, you know, what her company was generating. And she was a single mom. She had a young single son. And she was feeling like she was letting him down, because with work, she was really overwhelmed. She felt like she never had enough time. She felt very scattered. And when we worked together, I helped her get very focused on what was her zone of genius. And, you know, so what is it that she really wanted to focus on in her business? And she got where she was working less hours. She was able to be present for her son, because we worked on the overwhelm, because that's just a paradigm. It's just a state of mind, you know, that we can change. And she went from her $300,000 stuck point to over $1 million in 15 months. And so those were really fun. And then one more story I'd love to share is this one always touches me. But I was working with this woman, and she was kind of anxious a lot. It was hard for her to be around people. They drained her energy. She was always, you know, kind of giving into whatever they wanted to do. And so helped her feel more empowered, more clear on what she wanted, who she was. And she had two grown children, a daughter and a son, that did not get along. The three of them lived in three different states. And it was time for the kids to have her grandkids from both daughter and son to have vacation, spring vacation, and they happened to be the same week, even though they lived, you know, were going to different schools. And she invited them both to come to her house. And, you know, the daughter was like, I'm not coming, you know, I don't want to see my brother, I'm not coming. So the new, you know, this woman in her new version just said, okay, that's okay, we'll miss you. If you change your mind, let me know. Whereas the old her would have cajoled her, would have pleaded. And so I helped her get really clear on the vision of what she would love for that vacation if everybody came.
Mm.
And then I helped her have an image in her mind. So every time she'd think about it, instead of worrying, she'd go to the image and the feeling tone of that. And her image was they were all around her pool, and that they were laughing and having fun together, and that there was a lot of love there. And so every time she thought of it, she'd go to that image. And just for her to deal with her daughter that way was very different for her. A way of handling it. And her daughter calls, says, well, we've decided to come. So everybody was coming. And I spoke with her a week after they were all there, and I asked her, how did it go? And she said, it was a miracle. She said it was better than the image. And that so touched me, because quantum physics can explain how this works. I don't understand quantum physics. I know just enough, but the energy we send out has a ripple effect, and we never can imagine how it's going to go out and make some changes. And so her family, all of them were there having a really good time, having love there. And so that was really, really fun for me to hear that.
Oh, How great is that? You know, I'm sure for, you know, both of those clients, just a transformative experience for them. And you know, maybe could you just touch on your process a little bit? And I know you've touched on the four C's, you know, but just kind of walk the listeners through, like, hey, this is sort of the process I take clients like them through, so they can get a sense of how you're able to achieve such outstanding results.
Well, the first starting point is to create the vision. And people think they know what they want in their life. And when they actually write it down, typically people are very vague. So I help them get very specific. So if you are working with clients, it's who's your ideal client? You want to write out what their qualities are, you know, because you might attract a lot of clients, but if they're all headache clients or they're not fun to work with, it's going to make a big difference. So I help people get very clear. And we cover all domains of their life. Typically, people are focused on one or two areas of their life at a time that they really want to transform, but we still want to have the others working well. So there's your health and well-being, your relationships, your time and money freedom, and your vocation or creativity if you're retired. So we look at that, and then it's really action. It's starting to be that person, and I help them, and I help them see their paradigms, and I teach them a process for how to replace their paradigms when they notice they're up. A lot of times they can't notice they're up, and so I help them with that. I have one client who he sells real estate, but he does it in a very different way than your typical realtor. And he typically works with banks who have taken back properties or have been sold to them. Sometimes on relocations, they'll buy the property from the client or something. So, and he does work with individuals, but he had this thought that he didn't want to be the pushy sales guy, because in his mind, the pushy sales guy was being that guy, and he didn't want to be that guy. And because of it, he wasn't telling people about his business when they'd be saying, oh, I'm going to sell my house, and he didn't want to be that guy. And I'm like, well, gosh, how's this working with your business if you're not telling people about it? And he's successful, but it could grow, you know, more. And so I helped him realize that was just a paradigm, because he couldn't even see that it was. He just believed, I don't want to be that way. And I helped them tap into, and what if you were coming from a place of service, you know, and what if by not telling them it was a disservice. And when he shifted his energy around that, he was able to tap into the fun that he has in selling these properties. And he creates stories around the property that gets people in on an emotional level. And he's actually quite brilliant. So he was able to shift that. So I help people see their paradigms and shift them and to take action. And they've got to take action as the person who's living that life. They cannot take action as their old self, because they will have different results. So they take action as that person who's already living that life. And at times that's kind of scary, and they need somebody to kind of help them to, you know, really take that step.
Yeah, I often tell people, you know, being a coach is, I mean, yeah, it's transformative. We have a lot of tools and techniques to share with our clients, but oftentimes it's as simple as being a Sherpa, you know, a tour guide and pointing out the, you know, important destinations along the way, right, of the journey. And, you know, I think you really just spoke to that, right? Like, you know, they're ultimately taking the action. Our job is not to take the action for them. It's really just to help facilitate their best self along the way to take the appropriate action. So that's
well, it's
great.
It's also about helping them reframe, or I believe what I try to do with my clients is to help them reframe their thinking in the moment. Because when people get scared or stuck, they're thinking from a limiting place. And if you help them shift into what would they love, and they start coming from that, ideas will come to them. So I feel like one of my jobs is to help them shift their energy so that then they're open to what the steps are, and then they're willing to take them.
Wonderful. Wow. 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 Bruce, any thoughts on that? I mean, I know that kind of compares to your process a bit. I know you're obviously dealing with different clients, but.
Yeah, my stuck point's 80 million and over here, and I'm trying to get, just kidding, on the business side. No, I think that's really good. I really like the way you frame things out. You know, I think that what we talk about when we talk about the cure for depression, or people being their own change agents, is that they perform meaningful action, and that's really the end result. You know, we have these paradigms. We have all these thoughts, right? There's false evidence that appears real. There's other self-limiting beliefs and other things, right, that can really get in the way of our meaningful action. And it's that meaningful action that really dictates, right, the results. These things just, these blessings don't come by sitting on your tail, right? You got to be performing or acting in some consistent manner, right, that's guided by a paradigm or guided by morals, values, beliefs, you know. And so, yeah, I really like how you frame things out, and it sounds like you're just real effective with your clients, you know. Good stuff.
Yeah, one of the things I've learned for myself and for my clients is just to trust the process. Trust the process. If they do the process, it will work.
And in recovery paradigms, I do a lot of sober coaching and recovery coaching. We talk about the next right decision.
Mm-hmm.
Make the next right decision, because people will get overwhelmed. They'll get anxious. They'll get stressed out. Well, what about this, this, and this? And what about 10 years from now? Hey, you can't worry about 5 years from now, 10 years from now. It's just the next thing, the next thing. And that's why you have these recovery mantras like one day at a time, you know, stuff like that. Yeah. Now it has this more cognitive behavioral spin of, you know, make the next right decision. But again, those decisions are those are actions as well. You know, not just the decision, but the decision to act in one way or another. So really, really good stuff.
And I love the one day at a time, because you can break that down. When I was grieving, sometimes the pain was so acute, I would just think, I can get through this minute. I can get through this minute. And that's what I had to break it down to. And recently I have found out that wheat, my body does not like wheat. And I said to my husband, I can't ever have another chocolate chip cookie. And he goes, no, just for today, you can't have one.
That's the other one. Yeah, just for today.
I can do that.
Right. Yeah, you just, you don't have to do it. Don't think about forever. Just for right now, you know, and
for today. And that's the thing. Oh, excuse me. Go ahead.
No, that's it. Go ahead.
Well, all we're ever responsible for is in the moment, what energy are we deciding to transmit in each moment? That's all we're ever really in the action we want to take, of course. But in each moment, we don't have to, get the big picture and get overwhelmed. It's just in this moment, what is it that I want to be creating? Who do I want to be? And we step into that just in this moment.
Yeah. And what energy do you want to send out? You know, and I love what you said earlier about some of the more metaphysical properties about what energy people send out. And I'm, you know, my social media page is full of ladies with all kinds of breast augmentations and hair colorings and this and that, wondering why they have narcissistic boyfriends. Like, why the hell am I having this narcissistic boy? You know what I mean? I mean, water seeks its own level, right? And so,
might actually say they might be insecure, and so they're...
Well, yeah, I mean, of course. Yeah, right. They're sending out a vibe that's blood to a shark, and there it is. So they have to, you know, and the coaching, right, get them to believe that they don't need to be sending out that vibe, that, you know, this, your true self is really this other person, and we need an alignment, right? We need this kind of internal validity, like you're emanating who you say you are, you know, versus some other vibe to get more secondary reinforcers, you know, attention and other stuff. That's like holding sand. You'll never keep it. It blows away. And
well, it'll never be enough.
Yeah, and it's right,
from the outside.
Right, you'll never satiate. Yeah, you'll never be satiated or satisfied. And so, yeah. But that's the ways of, you know, of parts of our culture. Right. And they just have to be very careful what you attend to and internalize. So it's, yeah.
Well, and that's where it's really nice to have a vision, because you align, you have a place to always go back to align with. When you said that, it's who's living that life, and here's the life I'm moving towards. So everything is about aligning with that, and it makes your life a lot more simple. It's not always easy to do, but it's simple.
Right. And boy, that's where that accountability piece comes in, right? As coaches, where we kind of help folks, or at least I do, help folks keep accountable to the goals that they set. You know, this yes. wasn't my goal. This was your goal. I'm just helping you reach your goal. And it's always nice to have these little mini impasses, because like you said, or Justin said, with New Year's resolutions and the person doesn't go to the gym, or, you know, what have you, you know, they kind of want to drift back to an old paradigm that may not be, you know, good for them.
Yes, that's not serving the vision of them being fit and healthy.
Right.
Yep. Exactly. Exactly. So
I'm curious, you know, Sin, too, grief intuitive coach, right? Could you talk a little bit about that? And I'm making an assumption here that you might have some empath skills, if you will, or be an empath. Is that sort of what that's?
Well, I think I'm very intuitive. I receive messages from my son all the time. It's not something I do for other people. So I did get into the grief recovery specialist and the grief intuitive. I did that after my son died, because in the beginning I was very much about, I want something good to come out of this. I was on the board of directors of the crisis hotline in Idaho. I became the go-to person everybody called when we had 13 suicides in my little town in 1 year. And I was the one, you know, the Rotary called me when there was 2 suicides in 1 week, would I come speak? And I taught a class at the high school. Anyway, I got very involved. And that was me getting very involved doing that. And I used to coach people when they were in their first grief stages. And then at about 3 years of doing all that, one day I just went, I have to go see a comedy. And I kind of was done to a degree. So I love working with people who've had a loss of any kind when they're ready to move forward, but they don't know how. That is when I coach them now. I call them raw grievers. I don't coach raw when they're in that stage. What they need is someone to listen to them. You got to come at it from every angle over and over and over again till you're done, and you can put it aside with the story of how whomever left. And it's, even though it's been a number of years, I don't like going back to that energy.
Right.
And
I can imagine.
So I have a lot of people say, I know so-and-so whose son just died or committed suicide or whatever the circumstances, would you talk to them? And I will absolutely, I talk to them as a mom, not a coach. I talk to them mom to mom. Because what I want them to know is, hang in there. It will get better. You can have a full, happy life again. Because in the beginning, it feels like you will be in that much pain for the rest of your life. And it feels unbearable. So I like to tell them, no, it's not true. You just grieve. It's healing.
Yeah, and that's a tough one, too. And I don't blame you for, you know, wanting to kind of leave a lot of that, or keep it compartmentalized, if you will. Right. It makes sense. Wonderful. So I know we're running up on time. We got about 5 minutes left. So, Sin, you've shared a lot of great insight, and certainly enough that I think I would certainly say, hey, you know, I see why you stand out. But in your own words, you know, what makes you stand out as a coach?
Well, I have been through a lot starting in childhood. And because of that, I am not impressed by people's conditions. I have compassion for them. Absolutely. I have a lot of compassion. I thought I had a lot of compassion. And then when my son died, it got opened up to even more. But I am not impressed by them. But what I mean by that is, if I think that the conditions, that they can't get through the conditions, that the conditions will win, I am of no help to these people. We need to focus on their vision and know that they have that power inside of them to overcome any condition, anything, no matter what it is, to get to that life. And so I can hold so firmly in that. And that, I think, makes me a really good coach. As I said, I'm intuitive, and I'm not an intuit or whatever. I'm not psychic. I'm just very, I think, intuitive. And I also can see people's paradigms. They like kind of jump off the page to me, and so I can help them see the subtle things that are going on in their life that are holding them back and help them reframe that.
Wonderful. Wonderful. So if you could summarize, you know, what we've talked about here today on the show, and leave the listeners with a couple key nuggets, what would those be?
Well, what I'd like to say is that if you can dream it, you can live it. And that if you have a dream, a big goal, and you have a true burning desire for it, as Napoleon Hill says, and Think and Grow Rich, then there is a way to bring it in. And just because you can't see the way doesn't mean that you can't do it. So don't think, oh my God, I don't know how. Hang on to that. Know that life didn't give you that dream to say, but you can't have it. Life is not that way. So if there's something that really speaks to you that you really want to do, you can absolutely do it.
Is there anything else that maybe a partial story or a nugget that you haven't shared that came top of mind that you'd like to leave the listeners with?
Well, I'd love to tell them where to reach me. Is there time for both?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. So a nugget would be write your vision. Here's an action step. Go write your vision. And when you write your vision, you want to just ask yourself, what would I love? Because when you ask that question, it'll take you out of condition-based thinking. It will put you into that part of you, that life force in you that gets you excited, that makes you come more alive. That's what you want to be doing. You know, Howard Thurman, who is Martin Luther King's mentor, said, don't ask what the world needs. Ask what makes you come more alive and go do that. Because what the world needs is more people who are alive.
Powerful. I love that. Love that, Sin. So where can our listeners and other people that are hopefully going to see this on recorded and, you know, see the live stream that might be shared later on, where can they reach you?
Well, my website's a great place to find me. It's sinhannah.com. So it's C-Y-N-H-A-N-N-A-H, sinhannah.com. You can sign up for my Overwhelm Buster, which is the way successful people manage their activities so that they can stay calm and creative and they're most effective. And when you sign up for that, you'll also be put on my you know, my email list for my tips for success and inspiration. And then if you are interested in having a conversation where you would love to learn these spiritual principles for success, then sign up for my discovery session. It's on the bottom of my homepage, and there's a description of what that is there, and there's a calendar, and we'll talk on the phone for about an hour.
Awesome. SinHannah.com, folks. Sin, it's been a pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us here today. I don't know about Bruce, but I learned a ton. I'm going to borrow some of your 4 C's. You know, I wrote them down. I was actually taking notes as you were sharing a lot of your golden nuggets here today. So thank you so much for joining us here today. It was a lot of fun and absolute pleasure.
Well, Justin and Bruce, thank you so much for having me. I really enjoyed being here. Thank you.
Wonderful. Bruce, why don't you take us home?
All right. Yes. Wonderful show. Great, great techniques. Love the way you structure and frame things out, and I'm sure your clients and future clients will enjoy that as well. So, folks, thanks for tuning in today. Remember to see us on social media on the Concierge Coaches on LinkedIn. We are also on Instagram. We also are on Facebook. Also, check out our show on iTunes. Apple Podcast. There it is on the Apple Podcast. We're there and everything is up to date. All our show summaries are in. So come by and feel free to listen to any of our past episodes there. And they are archived at the LA Talk Radio site as well. Justin and I have our own page on the latalkradio.com. And you can see the shows also there. You can download them. the MP3s, or you could listen to them live in a player. So it's all there just for you. So again, have a great week, everybody. Have a blessed week, and we'll see you here next time on the Concierge Coaches Show on LA Talk Radio. Have a good week, everyone.
You're listening to the Concierge Coaches Show with Bruce Cameron and Justin Nimmergood, only on LA Talk Radio.